Welcome to the Coach Louisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Louisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Louisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lilisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/LilisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Louisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coach Louisa Show. Wow, Friday, thank God it's Friday. No, we thank God it's Thursday and Wednesday and Tuesday and Monday and Sunday, so we thank God every single day, but it's a special thank you, God, for Friday. Friday typifies and signifies that the weekend is here, and for some of us, that means let the good times roll in. Well, it's rolling in, rolling, rolling, rolling. Don't you miss it. Don't you miss it. And I want to know, you know, Friday, we have reserved Fridays. Sometimes we don't get people to call in, but sometimes we do have a guest. But when we don't have a guest like today I want to hear from you. I want you to call in. Pick up that phone, dial 347-945-7991. Hit the number one key, and I will know that you want to get on the air. This is your time. This is your spot. You know, the Coach Louisa Show is going viral, as they say. In other words, the entire world will be talking about Coach Louisa, and not just talking about me, but talking about the show, talking about the power of this show, talking about what you can transform your life, what you can do to transform your life just by tuning into the show, because the tips that are given here, the tools, the strategies are real. They are real, and you can put them into place today. You do not have to wait. You can do it fast. You can do it now. You can do it better. And so they are going to be talking about the Coach Louisa Show. We are traveling around the country, traveling around the country, can't yet travel around the world. We let our passport expire, so we have to get another one. And as soon as we get that passport, the world is ours. Here we come, you can take it. You can take it. So we have a brand new campaign that just got kicked off on Tuesday, March. I believe that was Tuesday, was March the 22nd, March the 22nd, 2011. March 22nd, 2011 marked this new campaign that we are going around the world with. And it's 1 million women changed. We are on a campaign and a mission to change drastically. We want to see a drastic change. I'm talking about a total transformation of 1 million. It may change to be 100 million soon, 1 billion. But we're starting with, it's something about a million. It just has a ring to it, a million. You know, remember that song back in the day? The songwriter said, you were one in a million, a chance of a lifetime. Well, we are on this campaign and mission, 1 million women changed. 1 million women. And somehow I always feel I have to address the men because I feel the men, I feel somebody saying, well, what about the men? And so when people say that to me, well, what about the men? Why don't you go help the men, go fix the men? But I just can deal with what God has put in my plate. You know, some people say, well, don't you have enough on your plate? Well, I don't know. I found something else there, so I'm going to just, you know, deal with it. But this, I'm telling you, everything I get on my plate, see, when you're in purpose, when you walk in your purpose and in your destiny, I cannot explain it. I can only try to encourage you to experience it for yourself. And all you have to do is just be open to your purpose. But when you walk in your purpose and your destiny, things will happen that you never imagined, you never dreamed of. It was never even a fantasy for you. You could have never thought it out. And so here it is. I'm on mission, on point, encouraged and motivated, inspired. You know, talk about the awe-inspiring. I'm inspired by this 1 million women changed campaign that has launched on Tuesday, March 22nd is where I first revealed it. Actually, it was first downloaded to me. You know, heaven would just download ideas to you and concepts to you, like on the spot, just a straight download, just like with a computer or you got your iPads, your iPhones, your cell phones, your Blackberries, your Androids, and your 4G, your cloud computing, and all that other stuff, and you can just download an application, and in seconds, in the matter of seconds, it's there for you to partake in. So here I downloaded yet another assignment. And it really has already started, but we didn't have the formal title for it. So here's the title, 1 million Women Changed. And what's going to happen is that campaign is going to go out to every shelter, wherever we could find women that stand in the need of a dramatic change, major change, talking about going from tragedy to triumph, or going from victim to victor, talking about going from destitute to dynamic. We're talking about people going from a mess to success. We are looking for, this campaign is seeking those women who don't think that life will ever get good for them, that life will never be successful for them. That's who we're looking for. That's who this campaign is seeking. And for those women, we want to get into their hands, a copy of the book, God's Plan for My Success, a personal testimony about overcoming the enemy's plan to destroy my life. And what's going to happen, we're going to teach those women that there has been, the enemy has tried to disrupt, he's always trying to disrupt God's plan for your success. But God's plan, though it may be delayed, it shall not be denied. Though it may have taken a while to get to you, it may have taken a moment to manifest, but it is sure to come. And that's what the campaign is about. We're going to be going. We've already got 27 women in the first installation for the copy of the book on March 22nd. And now the campaign is launched. So we're looking for people who want to help out promoting this campaign to get these women's lives changed. You know, I've been in seminars where I've worked with women who are on drug addiction, who are homeless, women who are in prison, incarcerated. And it is a great burden for me to see women in these predicaments, and yet they cannot see their bright future, yet they cannot grab a hold of the hope that God has made available for them. It is my burden. And, you know, we all have a burden for something. Others have burden for the homeless, and then there are some who are burdened for the hungry. Some people have burden for children who are left without their parents. And, you know, people have all types of burdens. Some people have burden for the young men who won't pull their pants up, and I just shudder to think how they're going to be feeling later in life because they have their body parts exposed more so to the elements. But especially the winter time. In the summer it may not be so harsh, but the winter, it's, can't imagine. So people have all kinds of burdens. You know, doctors have a burden to see people well, to improve people's health. If you are an eye doctor, you may have a burden to see people's vision clear and perfect. And, you know, there are many, many burdens. So my burden is that I'm burdened when I see people who don't see the hope of their life. They don't see that their dream can be a reality. That burdens me when people don't seek to make, first of all, they don't even try to get a dream, let alone try to make that dream a reality. You know, I am living a dream, so I believe that dreams do come true, but you have to do it, but it's a process that goes with it. You know, you have a dream, and then you set some goals, and you achieve those goals, you celebrate those goals, you set more goals, you achieve those goals, you celebrate those goals, and you set more, and you do like a young woman said last night. She said, and you stay on the right path, you stay on the right path. And the straight path, you see, you don't divert. You don't go to the left. You don't go to the right. You go on the right path. And as long as you're on the right path, you will find things there. As you're on the right path, you will find things on that path, on that journey along the way. You know what we say, we coaches and motivational speakers, we say that success is not a destination. It's a journey. It's not a destination for us to say, well, I've arrived. Success, here I am. No, because what happens if you do that, you may get stagnated. You may get stuck there. It's always a journey because there's always more to become. I'm not going to be exactly who I am until he comes back. I'm not finished. I'm not done until he comes back. You know, it says, it doeth not yet appear what ye shall be. That's what the Word of God says. It does not yet appear what you shall be. But when he comes back, we're going to look like him. So we're constantly changing every day, each and every day. We're changing, we're growing, we're developing. God is doing some things are happening. And so this 1 million women changed. And we're going to get them the book. And so these are people that typically have been left behind. They've been left out. People have forgotten about them, or people have given up on them. They don't believe that their lives will ever get better. And I know that. And people, you might say, well, people don't feel like that. Sure they do, because people felt like that about me. I had people that just told me to my face, you'll never be anything, you know. You'll never amount to anything. You're not good enough. I've had people actually say that. Now, this was, you know, 3 or 4 degrees ago and 4 or 5 books ago and, you know, 6 businesses ago and 21 years ago before I met my awesome husband. But there was a time when I thought that as well. Before I got married in March. Hey, yesterday, March 24th was 21 years of marriage for me. But I got married March 24th, 1990. And before I got married, before that day, you know, I thought it wouldn't happen as well. I met my husband in August of 1988. So August 1988, and not quite two years had gone by, my husband and I got married. But before I met my husband, before August 1988, I had settled into the fact that, you know, I would just continue to meet the type of men that I had been meeting. And these were men that, you know, they didn't want to make a serious commitment. They didn't mind shacking up with me. They didn't mind living with me. That was all fine. They would do that in a heartbeat. They'd tear money out of their pockets to do that. But they would not treat me like, as my mother would say, they wouldn't treat me like a lady, you know. They would not treat me as royalty and special. Now, my mother would say, and she did say this, and, you know, I didn't quite know how to live it, but she did say this. She told me this when I was maybe probably around 17, 18, in that category, somewhere around there. And she said, you know, she told this to all her, she had five daughters. She told all of us this at that time, or somewhere around there. My mother said, a person will only do what you let them do. My mother said that. I kid you not. She told me this. She told me, a man will only do what you let him. And that was because she had seen me getting, already by the time I was 18, I had at least three bad relationships. And the one at 17 was an abusive relationship. Yeah, my first real relationship with a boy, as we're coming into April Abuse Month, I may as well talk about it now, was a person who abused me. I'm only 17, and, you know, he was only like 18, so it wasn't like he was a lot older. But I will say that he had a very, very, very bad temper. And yet, well, now, at that time, I was into the zodiac signs. I'm no longer following that stuff. However, I did then. And this person was a Scorpio. And I read up on Scorpios, and I read up that they were very jealous, and they were very vindictive and very, you know, revengeful type people. And then the saddest thing was that I was born in the same time period too, that I would be a Scorpio as well. So that was really even more scary. But I said, I can't take this. I got out of the situation, and I will never, ever in my life ever date a Scorpio. And I never did. I never, ever did. So just because of that one bad experience. So you see how we talk all the time on here about beliefs and experiences and how things that happen to us can guide our future? Well, that one thing that happened to me, it did guide my future, and I never went back that way again. But my mother said that, and so that was the first, you know, opportunity for in my life for me to have this bad, bad situation. Now, the very first, you know, so-called boyfriend that I had that I can remember that I could even claim as a boyfriend was when I was 15. I was 14 or 15, in the ninth grade. I was in the ninth grade, and my sister was in the seventh grade, my sister that I host the show with on Sundays. So we were good friends. We hung around together all the time. We did everything together. And it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And so I had this boyfriend, and, you know, we would meet up with him. He would come to the neighborhood where we lived because he lived far away. And he would come to the neighborhood. And so, I was all excited. And, wow, you know, he was this, you know, interesting character. And he was really a sweetheart. He really, really was. However, it was a bad relationship because one day we were all together, myself and my sister and some other people, about six of us all together, and we were just all, you know, doing our little whole music thing, the Delphonics, you know, that whole thing, just playing the music, and we're all in love. And I said something, and then he said something, and he interpreted what I said, you know, back, you know, when you're young like that, you don't even know what you're saying, number one. I don't even know how young people date. I really don't, because I know when I was doing it, I didn't have a clue as to what I was doing. So I said something. He said something. And then next thing I know, he was in the room talking to another girl in the same night. And I was dumped, like, that night, you know, like, what happened? Well, he says I dumped him, something that I said. And that was it. That was the last that I was in a relationship with him. And then this girl was his new girlfriend from that night on. And then she came to school the next day or something like that and said she was pregnant by the guy. I mean, we're ninth grade, okay? And then a fight was scheduled. And so, you know, me and her called each other for a while and fussed each other out over the phone, blah, blah, blah. I guess that would be like some of that cyberbullying type stuff that they do today. This was back then. So, make a long story short, we came to school prepared to fight, and my little sister, who, you know, we often joke about this, but, you know, she was slightly taller than I was, and so I used to tease back then and say that I always, you know, everybody thought she was older than me because she was just slightly taller. And, you know, she was a little bit more mature than I was acting-wise. But I used to say, boy, I thought you were older than me, too, for a long time as we were kids. I thought she was older because she was slightly taller, but we always joked about it. But I knew I was the eldest. But we always joked about that. And so here we go up to the school to fight. And she and I, when we talk about it, we just can laugh, like, uncontrollably, because it was the funniest scenario. Here you are in the ninth grade. You ought to be going to school to learn. But here we go to school to fight. She and I and this girl and her best friend. But we were all friends. But now we got to fight because of this guy who neither one of us probably wanted him, and he probably really didn't want either one of us. But nonetheless, we're going to fight. We go to the school, Campbell. I'll never forget the school. Campbell Junior High is the school in Cincinnati, Ohio. We go to the school to fight. Someone had a razor blade. A punch was thrown. We're kind of fighting. I'm scared half to death. But here we are. And, of course, we get in trouble and suspended and all of that. And my sister, definitely, when she tells the story, it could be like one of those. You ever seen those Martin Lawrence shows where Martin, Gina, and the other Tommy, and they all tell one story, but they all have a different way of telling it, though they all saw it differently. Well, Beverly, she has her, you know, way of telling it, but the way she tells it is that she was the hero, and that part is true of the day for me anyway. And someone got cut, someone had a razor blade, and well, we could have gotten in a lot more trouble had that been these days, because that would have been considered a deadly weapon. But back then, you know, yeah, kids had a little razor blade, a little razor blade or a little switchblade or whatever. So it was just like a little finger cut, nothing major, no face slashing, thank God. Could you imagine if that girl had slashed my sister's face and that today she wore a scar because of that? Boy, that would just blow me away. And we're in our 50s. Oh, my God, that would just blow my mind. So I'm so glad that it was just a little tiny finger cut and nothing serious. And I'm really saying this, I'm hoping that people who are young and you're listening to this, if you have children of school age, you know, teach your children not to fight each other. You have to protect yourself. But come on, y'all, we were fighting over a boy who neither I should have, first of all, I should have never been at their house to even have that conversation. We were at her house, her friend's house, and I should have been there to have that conversation with this guy, because I should have been at home doing my homework, considering I've already told you the story about why I flunked out of school. And I never understood, you know, because of that, I don't understand today how parents don't put two and two together. How come parents today don't put together that if your child isn't doing homework, they're not going to pass? Now, I know there are some kids that doesn't hold true for, because some kids have photographic memories. And when the teacher talks, they suck everything in as a sponge, and it's recorded in their memory, and they're able to spit it back out for a test. However, a test is only one part of the homework, of the grade. So even if they do all the tests well, it still does not mean they'll get an A. You know, in college, that may work. It may work, depending on the professor. But some professors, they do weigh homework and class participation very heavily on the grade as well. But I would think in grade school, like, you know, elementary, you know, grade school all the way up to high school, I would think that, you know, all the components are important. So I don't understand why parents, if you see your child isn't doing homework, there's no need to ask them how they're doing in school. You can surmise that they're not doing well, even if they're very bright and very smart and can hold a wonderful conversation and all that good stuff. So anyway, I just thought I'd tell you that little funny story. But men, so my mother said that, you know, people will only treat you the way you allow them to. So think about how we're allowing people to treat us. Now, here's the thing. When I go to these organizations, the prisons, the halfway houses, and I'm with this 1 million women change, we want women to change their mindset. We got to change our mindset, and you got to know that pookie in them. Now, I like to say that I got that from Creflo Dollar. Pookie, you know, I love how he says, "I can't get you into God's house until I get you out of Pookie's house," or you say, I can't deal with you in the devil's den until I get you out of Pookie's den. You know, he'll say things like that, and I'll laugh, and I think that's funny. But, you know, I can't help you until the person is willing to have to see things differently for their situation. So that's what the campaign is about. We're very, very excited about this campaign that's going forth. You know, 1 million, the 1 million women change. And you've seen other campaigns that are similar. You got the 1 million authors. You got the 1 million pounds that you can drop. And collectively, people want to change 1 million pounds. You have the 1 million students graduating, which wherever I go, I can also, while I'm in that city, I can also talk to students who have dropped out of school. Actually, I'm going to be talking to teachers and teaching them how, or at least giving my advice, my opinion, on how to teach students that lack motivation, how to teach students and bring up their motivation. Well, first of all, that's what you have to do if you want to reach anyone. First of all, you have to tap into their motivation. You have to tap into what motivates them. And once you tap into their motivation and you figure that part out, now you can possibly guide them to completion of whatever it is you want them to complete. It could be a 5-week program, a 10-week program, a 10-year program. And, you know, that's the same thing that happens with God. He taps into what motivates us. And, you know, what I'm going to do is just like God does it. You know, I don't think you have to reinvent the wheel. So the way God does it, he taps into our talents, our skills, and our abilities, our gifts. And that's why he says if you use them, they will make room for you. And I found that most people, like, talk to people and watch and see how their countenance will change when you begin to ask them what they do, what they're good at. So now I'm going to ask you what you do, what you're good at. I want you to call in. If you're on the phone lines, hit your number one key. Call in and tell me. If you have a business, you can shout out your business. This is Friday. Tell us the name of your business, the address, where you're located, and what product or service you have to offer, and how people can get in touch with you for your business. You may have a daycare center. You may have bakery, you may have a shoe store, you may have a hair store, whatever kind of business you have, call us and tell us about your business. Good morning, and welcome, Mr. Paul Kiriazzi. Welcome to those of you who are in the chat room, also to our guests 795 in the chat room. Good morning. Good morning to those of you who are on the switchboards. Now, if you're on the switchboard and you want to speak to the host, you'll have to hit your number one key. Now, I could open up your phone line without doing that. However, I know some people are in occupations and situations where you have background noise, or you don't want the background noise to come through the switchboard. So I don't just go and pick up your phone line unless you say to me you want me to do that. However, there's some of you that I pretty much know it would possibly be safe to pick up your phone. So there are a few people. I am going to pick up your phone because I'm really just curious as to who this particular caller is. So why don't I open up this phone line first? Now, good morning. You are on the air with Coach Lalisa. Tell us your name, and I believe you're calling from somewhere in Essex County, possibly. Yes, good morning. Good morning. You're on the air, area code 973-634. This is who? Okay. All right. So that was an example how a person could be multitasking, and they may not want to be on the air. So we'll put that person back on hold. Now, if you are on the phone lines, I'm going to open up your phone lines, and you simply tell me your name and where you're calling from. So let's take this next caller. Caller, area code 30. You're on the air. Good morning, good morning. Area code 330, you're on the air. Okay, another great example. So that's why I'm just trying to show you why I don't just open up people's phone lines, because some people are in situations where they don't want to be on the air, and we totally, totally respect that, and we have no problem with that. And so if you want to call, this is Fridays. This is Fantastic Fridays here on Coach Lalisa, and you can call in about your business. Tell us what business that you have, and tell us what you're doing. I know you're doing great and wonderful things out there. I know that people are doing awesome, awesome things. You have your business. Your business may be, you may be the next, great movie. We were in New York last night at the church service over there. We had an awesome time. We had fun getting lost in Brooklyn. No, we didn't get lost, but we had fun driving around Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn, do y'all go to sleep over there ever? So we were leaving Brooklyn around 11 o'clock at night, and we had gotten a few good laughs while we were in the car, myself and Tina and Minister Pat. We got a few good laughs out of people were up, stores were open, businesses were thriving. There was a traffic jam, y'all, 11 o'clock. I thought for sure we would be home in 21 minutes. I thought there would be no cars out here at 11 o'clock at night. Well, guess what, y'all? There are cars in New York at 11 o'clock at night. It was a traffic jam, not just cars, but a traffic jam getting onto the Brooklyn Bridge. So for those of you who don't like to sleep, you might want to move to New York, because there you can absolutely stay awake. You don't have to go to sleep. You can stay awake, and New York is very accommodating for that lifestyle. If you have this desire to be up all night, doing things, you can have fun. You could go, and now, we were not even in Manhattan. We were in Brooklyn. Yes, we had to go through Manhattan for just a minute. But had we been in Manhattan, we would have noticed a lot more traffic and people and things going on, especially if we had been near that one area of Manhattan where, there's just a lot of activity near the Play District and all of that. We would have seen a lot going on there. So I would like to know, what is your business? What is your business? Tell me about your business. Is it a speaking business? Because we have several people on the line who are also motivational speakers. Okay, so we have a few events coming up that I want to tell you about, make you aware of them. The first one that I want to talk about is our Kingdom Women's Empowerment Convention happening this Friday and Saturday coming up. Not today, not tomorrow, but the very, 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 very next one. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. We want to invite you there. And, we want to say congratulations to our cousin, Frances Bivens on your birthday. We also want to say congratulations to director Joshua Coates and his new movie, Iniquity. And he is at an event where they are going to have 7,000 youth. It's in North Carolina. It's called the Positive Direction for Youth Conference. He is being featured in a celebrity basketball game to promote the movie Iniquity. And children are expected to attend, come out to the event, and all the celebs that are also going to be attending this event. It's called the Positive Direction for Youth Conference, and it's in North Carolina. And we definitely will be wishing him much, much, much success at that event. So if you're in the North Carolina area, not quite sure what part of North Carolina that they're in, but if you're in North Carolina, you can look that up. And what else do we have going on? There's a lot going on, people. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to go to. Also, if you are in the Newark, New Jersey area, again, you can come out next week, right? And you come out Friday and Saturday to the Wyndham Garden Hotel right there on Routes 1 and 9, Newark, New Jersey. If you put it in your MapQuest, it's 550 International Way. Wyndham Friday night starting at 6 p.m. on Friday night. We're going to have praise dancing. We're going to hear an awesome, awesome word preached. The praise is going to be high. If you are women who you love going to conferences, empowerment conferences, you want to be spiritually empowered, you want to be spirit, you know, most people, their spirit level is just way too, like, on, they're on E. So you need to come out, get your spiritual level filled up high so that you can go. And also on Saturday, starting at 9, we'll be there from 9 till 3. And then there's, after that, I know the Empowerment Women's Book Club is also having their event at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Then on Wednesday, March 30th, for those of you who can attend Essex County College, where I will be presenting at their social work day. If you can attend, come on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. I will be presenting at Essex County College. We also want to give a shout out to Lavera Corporate Wamanin. Okay, not quite sure how to say that, but Lavera. I don't think there's probably too many Laveras that I know. Lavera. We want to give a shout-out to Lavera. Also, we want to say congratulations to Mr. Versi Walker. He was the guest on the with author Deborah Davis on her show yesterday evening. I believe we were in transition over to New York. So we want to say congratulations to him on that, and congratulations to the many others of you that are celebrating your birthday, your wedding anniversaries, or if you're celebrating, you know, just something new in your life. Many people are celebrating their levels of sobriety and all these wonderful things. Keep April the 7th on your calendar. Invite all your friends. Our room can seat 180 people. We will be at the new Newark Screens. They just had a big celebration there. Last Saturday, they had Shaquille O'Neal. The mayor was there. I heard Gayle King was there, and the place was just buzzing with people because they're rebuilding the Newark Screens. They're adding on to it. They're doing great things down there, and we are going to be there thanks to Miss Tina, who told me about the opportunity to go and to do something at their facility. You can go there. It doesn't cost you anything to get on their schedule and to host your own event there at the Newark Screens. You simply get in touch with Pamela Daniels, and you can contact the Newark Screens, and you can ask to speak to her I will be doing a career catch-up workshop there April the 7th. It will be held as starting at 5:30 p.m. So we'll be helping people with the career choices that you are making and how to get your career in gear. Yeah, there you go. Get your career in gear. I like when things rhyme for some reason. Also, for those of you who can make it to Passaic, New Jersey, at 69 Jefferson Avenue, going to be at the James M. Lodge, located at 69 Jefferson Avenue. Author Deborah Davis, and also Miss Deborah Days, we will be speaking for a Celebrating Women, Women's History Month, and Health Awareness Dinner, which is hosted by Shades of Pink this Sunday, March 27th. The tickets are $18, so if you want to purchase them, you can go to www.sopcelebratingwomen.eventbrite.com. So if you want to purchase a ticket, they're $18. You can go to www.SOP, S as in Sam, O as in Oscar, P as in Paul, celebratingwomen.eventbrite.com. And I look forward to seeing you there, and myself and author Deborah Davis. She's the author of My Daddy, the Devil, and Me, and Deborah Davis is a business owner. She has a nonprofit where she has an organization where she helps people who are coming off of very devastating type illnesses like cancer and what have you. And she also tours the country doing workshop and providing resources and services for these women. And I think the name of her organization is the Healing and Helping Hands. And I met her several years back. She's an awesome woman. She has her own powerful testimony, and soon we'll try to get her on so that she could share how she got started with and launched her nonprofit organization that has just grown by leaps and bounds over the past 5 years since I've been knowing her. And I think we met at an event. And so, sometimes, and a lot of the people I meet them because I'm out somewhere. So I try to encourage people that feel as though they're not meeting the right people or they're not connected to the right people. It could possibly be because you're not getting out enough. So if you get out, and the Bible talks about, in order to have friends, you got to first show yourself friendly. So you got to be a friend to people, and you got to be friendly. So you can get out and meet people. So that's going to happen on this Sunday, March 27th. But Saturday, March 26th, I will be speaking to a group of women that will become part of the 1 Million Women Changed campaign. So whoever buys the book going forward will be part of that. So because they're going to get the teaching on how this book is going to change their lives. And it's not that other women, because I have letters from women that have already read the book and told me how it's changed their lives. So they could possibly be part of the campaign as well. But, now, since I'm just now starting to keep count, and I'll have some people working on developing that tool, and we'll probably start with right here on Facebook, because it's easy, but Facebook will only let you go up to 5,000, but you can do a fan page and actually have millions. Anyway, so we're going to do that campaign, and we're going to just let it do what it do. So that is what is new and exciting that I have. And so now, Paul said he's going to be typing over the weekend. I asked the question in the chat room, what are you planning for the weekend? What do you have doing? So it sounds like Paul is going to be working on a new book, a new movie, or something of that nature. And I'm curious as to what you have planned for the weekend. What are your plans for the weekend? I just shared with you some of my plans. And also Saturday night, I will be going out to dinner with my husband to celebrate our anniversary. We will be having dinner a Saturday night, and I'm very excited about that and looking forward to it, because I get to go to my favorite restaurant, and it's not necessarily his favorite restaurant, but he does get great joy out of making me happy by going to this restaurant. So that's how it is, something in it for him, you know. And my husband and I, we are not the traditional couple. So some people say, well, wow, your marriage lasts 21 years, you know. Yes, because we're not traditional. If we were traditional, our marriage would have ended probably 15 years ago. And then if that didn't do it, it would have ended 11 years ago, or possibly even 5 years ago, or possibly even 2 years ago. But we are not a traditional couple. So couples that, and there's nothing wrong, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a traditional couple, as long as it works for you. Just don't do it because it's the tradition. Because if you do things that is the tradition because everybody else does it, it possibly may not fit you, and therefore you may end up without a marriage. And so I try to, you know, that's when we do our marriage seminars or when I do my relationship seminar, I touch on that and I talk about that. You know, you have to, your marriage needs to fit you and your spouse, not fit what your mama did and what your daddy did and what your auntie's doing and what your girlfriends are doing. Because you could be totally different, you know, from them. Just imagine, you some of you who you know my lifestyle, you see how busy I am and all these things, and you see some women who are married, they wouldn't dare. Oh, my God. They wouldn't dream of being as busy and out of the home as I am, right? They would be, oh, no, I got to be with my husband 24/7. Well, that did happen for a lot of women, and those men left them because they didn't want a clingy woman. So you got to be the kind of woman for your mate. Some men want to be with their women all the time. Baby, don't go nowhere unless you tell me, unless I know, unless I'm there. And that may work perfect for the woman who wants a clingy man. But for the woman who doesn't want that, she is going to be miserable. She's going to leave that man eventually because she's miserable. I mean, most people do not stay in miserable situations. So before you be clingy, make sure the person that you want to cling to wants clingy. Don't just cling because you've always done it. That's your tradition, all right? It's because that's the way you've always done it, because the person that you so desire to be with may not be like that. Now, let's just say you are the clingy type, and they are too. Bingo, wonderful, cling on, you know. But now, don't look down on other couples that don't cling, because that's what y'all like to do. Like, I know couples that they love to stay in the house and watch the movies, right? Me and my husband, we don't do that. So people may say, well, you know, her marriage isn't going to last, it's not great, but our marriage is wonderful. My husband loves to go play golf. And he may go to the golf course at 8 o'clock in the morning. He may not come back till 5. That's fine with me. I'm not sitting somewhere, you know, feeling abandoned. I don't understand. Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I don't have real abandonment issues. I probably should, considering I was molested as a kid. But I really don't for some reason. And when my husband's not with me, I never feel abandoned, ever. I never did in our relationships. So some people have abandonment issues, and so every time a person isn't with them, they feel that that person, you know, isn't coming back. Or they feel that that person is going to find someone else or be with someone else. I remember when back from the period of, say, 1992 up until 1999, 92 to 99, so that was, what, 7 years or so? Yeah, my husband traveled on the road 100%. He was gone, pretty much. He would come home for a day or two, but other than that, he was on the road. But during that time, I was also finishing up an associate degree and then also working on a bachelor and then had just started my MBA. So people say during that time period, because I went to school in 1990, he started that traveling in 92. People were like, and I had women actually, you know, oh, don't you miss him? Or aren't you worried about what he's doing out there? All this and that stuff. And I said, no, see, that's your problem. You would be worried about it. That's why it would happen to you. Remember, Job said the thing that I feared the most came upon me. So, no, I didn't worry about it. And you know, sure, I love my husband, but while he was away, that gave me hours and hours and hours that I could study and do homework and get it all done. And by the time he came home, I was free to go with him, and we'd go places and do things, you know. But that, but what I'm saying, sharing that to say the relationship did fit us. It didn't fit other people. They thought that was crazy. How could you be okay with your husband being out of the home that much? You see, and it didn't ruin our marriage. We are still married. So, you know, you have to go with what fits you, you know. I got tons of stories like that. It's the same thing with when it comes to cooking. You know, there are some women who think that, boy, if I don't cook a big, hearty meal for my husband, he's going to leave me. Well, honey, I know women that got left, and you did cook, so that's no indication that a person is going to stay with you because you fixed them a delicious meal. I know people who was a great cook. I knew one lady, her husband left her. She was a caterer. Okay, so it doesn't mean your husband is going to stay because you are a great cook or that you cook every day. All right? You have to go with, now like in my marriage, in my husband, we don't cook like that. I don't cook like that. I know how to. I can. First of all, I don't think people need to eat like that. I mean, I've seen some of these women who say they cook like that, and when they show me pictures of their husbands and they tell me their ages, their husbands look 20 years older than they are, and probably because of all that food they're eating. Now, if you're eating the right things, that's different. You know, like our friend Kitty says, food should be our medicine. But if you're just cooking up a bunch of fried this, and that, a bunch of bread and butter, come on. You know, a bunch of homemade cake, what is that about? So, you know, but yet when you see a picture, most people, they see a picture of my husband and they're amazed when I tell him his age. Well, if he was eating like what some people say I should cook because I'm a woman and I'm married, you know, my husband would probably be but not as healthy as he is for his age. So, you know, you got to do it your way. That's my advice for you married, for you women who are married and looking to get married. You need to make your marriage last or make it better, make it stronger. You need to sit down and have a heart-to-heart talk with your husband or your wife and ask them how they like it, what they want. Don't worry about what your neighbor is doing. You know, I have on the right hand to my neighbor to my right, they're married, been married 35 years. The neighbors to my left, they've been married about 15 years. My neighbor, two neighbors across the street going both left and right, they're all married. All my neighbors are married, right? And I know all of them because, you know, we get together in the summer and have our little outdoor things. But all my neighbors are married except for the one that's directly across the street. So, but she was married. Her husband passed. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 married couples that live, like, you know, right around me. And we know each other. We go to each other's homes. We talk. We chat. I play with their kids and blah, 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 and their grandkids. Know them very well. But I can say I know for a fact that our marriage, mine and Drew's, is not like any of these people. And it's not that that's on purpose. It's not like I said, okay, let me look at y'all and I'm not going to do it that way. No, it's not that. But, you know, I said to my husband, you know, we had a few arguments about it early on, you know, because he was friends with them before I became friends. My husband meets everybody on the street before I do. He's just like that. But, he knows everybody on the, like, 3-4 blocks around here. And I said to him, now, honey, your wife, now you know how you met me in a bar, the Foxtrap, came from Cincinnati. You know, you can't compare me to these other women who, you know, they have a different background. See, you got to know people's backgrounds before you begin to put demands on them and start wanting them to do what others have done, you know. You got to look at their experiences, okay? So, you know, and at first he was like, huh? No, you're a woman, you do this, do that, you do your wife. I'm like, no, honey, remember, I'm the lady that drove all the way from Cincinnati with nothing, came to a state that I didn't know, you know, and New Jersey, on top of that, you know, a fast-paced, you know, place. I came to the fastest place in the world, you know, New Jersey, New York, hello, the place where people say, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere, okay? That's where I came. I didn't go to a little town in, you know, North Dakota or Tennessee. I didn't go to a little quiet town where it's slow. I came to the big city and have been here ever since. And that was 1987. So, you know, that's who you're dealing with. So just keep that in mind, you know. So you got to, you know, you have to help people know who you are, because people don't know you. They don't know you. They don't know what you're about. They don't know. So you got to help them. So your mate, you know, I just felt led to share that in case someone is about to settle down, is about to get married, or maybe you know someone. Maybe you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a friend or a male friend, I should say, and they're about to get married. And you might want to have them go back and listen to this portion, or maybe you want to tape this portion of the show for them, because I see a lot of marriages running into trouble because people are trying to do it like someone else. And typically they're trying to, especially if they have parents that are married. And sometimes that'll work. If you're just like your mother, say you have a mother and father with a happy, wonderful marriage, and they've been together 30, 40 years, and it's a happy, wonderful marriage. Because some people are together 30, 40 years, but they're miserable. But for the ones who are happily married, and you want to do it like that, well, first of all, in order to have what they have, you would have to first be like your mother, if you're a woman, and you would have to marry a guy that's like your father. So, now, if you go out there, if your father is a nice, standing, upstanding, clean-cut guy, and you go marry a thug, then that person is not like your father. So you cannot expect that person to treat you the way your father treats your mother. So therefore, you're going to have to maybe make some adjustments and do things a little differently. However, I really do believe that communication is the key. I believe that if you communicate early on, you know, like on the first date, you know, the first date, start communicating. Don't just sit and stare and gaze in a person's eyes. You can do that later. You can do that for the rest of your married life. All right? I know it's fun to be all googly-eyed, and all of that mushy stuff is tremendous. But you can do that later once you're married. What needs to happen in that dating period is that you need to be communicating and finding out if this person is a good fit for you, if this person can handle your lifestyle. Especially if you're older, it's typically easier because you've already experienced a lot of things. But I never can understand how the time can just fly by like that. So anyway, nevertheless, it has, and nevertheless, we are here down to the weekend. So the weekend is almost here. So for those of you, we're about to go into April. We're about to spring. By the time we talk to you next weekend, it'll be spring. So we still have it'll be April. And so we still have a whole week left of March to enjoy. So please do enjoy March. Enjoy this weekend. We have a guest coming on the show Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday we will have Mr. Versi Walker, and we possibly may have guests Thursday. If not, if we don't have a guest Thursday, we will continue in our personal development coaching for you, and we will have another great topic for you next week. But we want to definitely, again, thank you. We look forward to you coming to one of our events. If you're not connected with us on Facebook so that you can follow some of the events that you would like to attend, I can guarantee you that you will have a blast. You will have a blast at one of our events. So with that being said, hopefully we'll see you Sunday in Passaic on Jefferson Street. You can get a copy of that flyer by contacting me by phone or by email. Well, it's been great. It's been real, and it's been Coach Lalisa. Have a great weekend, y'all.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.